busy talking to Detalk Radio. What's that? Oh, what was that? That was horrible.
I don't know what that was.
I don't know what that was. Was that you, Jeremy?
I don't know.
Murder Dog. All right. Freedom Fiends. Go ahead, MK.
Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends. Whoa. Broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus ceruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Is it working?
Yeah.
Jeremy? Michael?
Yeah.
It's Michael. Flowing Michael Dean. All over me.
Worms.
Oh, that sounds dirty.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, Amazon touched me in horrible places. I'm going to show you on the doll, y'all, where Amazon touched me. And
bad touch.
The name of this episode is going to be something like be nice to your robot overlords or else. Be kind to your robot overlords or else. And we found this awesome image, made this image. It's like a delivery drone like Amazon is supposed to have. Mm-hmm. Coming soon, or they're testing actually, but this one, it has the Amazon logo on it. It's carrying a package, but it has a machine gun on it. and it says, I see you have guests. Would you also like to order curtains? And you know, Amazon is great, Google is great, they bring great things to our lives, but they have so much power like over us right now. I'm kind of worried about the possibility that they're going to merge and replace all the governments in the world, which sounds like a libertarian paradise, but it could also be like Terminator 2. Yeah. You know, it could be Skynet. It could be Rollerball. Did you guys ever see Rollerball or the remake of Rollerball?
No.
The original Rollerball.
Oh, the original, sure. Yeah.
The remake, and it stars James Caan, and the remake is from the 90s or 2000s and stars LL Cool J, I think. It's basically a dystopian future. It actually said, like, I always make jokes about how dystopian shows take place in the not too distant future. This actually begins with a title card that says, Dateline, the not too distant future. And then you find out it takes place in 2018. So we always talk in the intro about LibPair 2017, because that's when the people in Alpha Centauri are going to finally hear the four and a third year old first Fiends on Radio episodes and come save us from the government. But they better do it quick, because 2018, according to Rollerball, is Rollerball, which is, my friend said that this movie actually was the inspiration for reality TV where you can die, you know, like the Survivor stuff and the Who Wants to Eat a Bunch of Hissing Cockroaches with Joe Rogan show. What's it called?
Fear Factor.
Yeah, Fear Factor. Rollerball. Yeah. So in Rollerball, the basic plot of it is like it's 2018, you know, like 50 years in the future from when it was made. The government sort of still exists, but no one really pays attention to them because there's one corporation that runs everything in the world. Like they provide the food, the transportation, you know, like all the power is in, you know, all the entertainment, and like they've kind of like ecologically raped the world. Like there's like 7 trees left in the world. And, you know, everyone's eating Soylent something. And so the entertainment is this corporate-sponsored game called Rollerball, which is a really bizarre combination of, like, roller derby, shooting a cannonball at your head, and, like, riding motorcycles in a certain, like, motocross. It's murdercross. That's what it is. And people die during this game, but, like, the people who survive in it are like kings. You know, they have all the women and all the power and all the money and all the glory, and everyone else on Earth is just a peon working in a factory somewhere. So that's what I'm afraid is going to happen.
It's like Hunger Games.
It's like Hunger Games. Yeah, what, Jeremy?
I guess that came before Running Man too then, right? So
yeah.
Except Running Man was, they didn't actually win the thing. They were supposed to get all that stuff, but the,
is that with Dustin Hoffman?
No, that was Schwarzenegger.
Okay. Yeah, he's in a lot of dystopian films. And, you know, the ultimate is Terminator 2, which is Skynet. And Derek Slopey, the Fiend Phone programmer, has a t-shirt I really like. It says Google, but it's in the, or it says Skynet, but it's in the Google kind of logo where each letter is a different color. And,
perfect.
So y'all know about Google had this, this company that was making, robots for the military, right? You've seen those like scary headless dog robot videos from Boston Dynamics is the company. Google owned that company, led people. Yeah, really creepy. And they buzz. They're like, and the videos of them are always the scientists who make them, like testing them by kicking them over, and then they write themselves. And I think it was James Babb or somebody said, like, do you think that's really the best thing to do? Is to, like, try to create these robots that are stronger than humans and have like budding AI built in, and then kick them constantly? Like, how's that going to end? You know.
They will revolt one day.
They will. And, you know, that was like the joke was, you know, Google's motto in 1990, you know, in 2000, in the year 2000 was don't be evil, which it was. And then the joke is that, you know, in 2007, their motto was evil is hard to define. And in, you know, 2014, their motto was we make robots for the military. So,
yeah.
They just sold this company to Amazon, and it's like Amazon and Google kind of like trade giant corporations that they own back and forth to where, like, I'm not even sure they're not the same company anymore. Like, they're not on paper, but I think that they might be headed toward, you know, rollerball. So I had an experience with Amazon where I made this new, I've been making Android apps. I made one for The Freedom Fiends, which you should go get. You know, the Freedom Fiends site, and it's a free app, and you click on the top right there where it says get the Freedom Fiends app, and it's you know, it's a libertarian re-indoctrination camp in your pocket. And Jeremy and I hope that, you know, someday there will be libertarian re-indoctrination camps for the drug warriors, and there will be Nuremberg trials for the drug warriors. And I don't, Jeremy and I talked today, we don't want the drug warriors killed. We don't want them in prison for life, rotting away in a cell. What we want is the drug warriors to be tried, convicted, and literally thrown into work camps where they will work at some kind of labor all day long, and the money will be divided among the people that they beat up and killed and threw in prison and the families of the people. So we're looking forward to that. So libertarian re-indoctrination camp. So I made another one.
I'm really looking forward to that too.
You're going to be one of the judges or prosecutors in that because you have experience. So
indentured servitude.
I thought I was one of the defendants.
No, because you already redeemed yourself by stopping it, and you were just following orders. It's okay.
So, oh, you mean the ones that are still at it when we take control?
When the libertarians take control? Yes,
that's right.
In 2017. Yeah.
What do you think, MK? Because
I actually talked to Ian Freeman about this. Exactly. Good, we're all on board. Because I called in Free Talk Live one time, and Ian Freeman's like, "Oh, I don't want that. I just want the drug war to end, and then those people, we're not going to try them. We're not going to punish them. They can just peacefully go away."
Oh, like, I really like vengeance, though. So
I do too. Well, do you really? Are you joking? Or are you serious?
No, I'm joking.
Okay, because I really would like. I don't know if I'm vengeful about it, but I really would like them to somewhat do some work towards paying people back.
Restitution.
There's definitely restitution needed.
But that doesn't mean that, you know, I wouldn't sit outside their cage in a lawn chair eating popcorn and smiling and, like, you know, holding up my Chrome robot tart and live streaming it to my friends. Is that vengeance? But
the problem with all this is that the more onerous you make the final consequences for the other side, the harder they will fight and the more they kill to see that it does not happen.
Yeah, and you know, the most dangerous institutions are those that are going extinct, thrashing in the tar pits. Like, I was talking to a friend today who used to be in the Church of Scientology and wanted to come on the Freedom Fiends and talk about it, and I advised against it because they are really known for going at, I have friends who personally have been, like, had their lives turned into hell for, like, going against that church, but allegedly, let's say allegedly, because they're also litigious, but, you know, allegedly they also fight dirty beyond the law, but
they put
allegedly
out a fatwa. Oh,
Scientology, they definitely do.
Yeah, well, allegedly.
They're crazy.
So, Allegedly. So gotta put that in there. But I told him, like, you know, it's not
blanket,
even
allegedly.
It's not, yeah, we should like have it at the beginning of every segment. So it's not even, you know, that church is not even like nearly as powerful as they used to be 10 years ago. And I told him, like, I don't even know if you need to do this. I think they're on their way out on their own. But, and that's also the time when institutions are the most dangerous. Like, I have a theory that, you know, if the government collapsed, like, who would build the roads? I always say they're already built, but I don't know. We'd probably have to rebuild them, because I really think that government employees, when they stop getting paychecks, would go to the armory they have access to and get dynamite and start blowing up the roads. I don't think they'd like peacefully just go, all right, I'm going to be a crossing guard in Libtair.
Just like, you know? Sherman on his way to the sea.
Yes, yes, yes. Just sorry, slash and burn. So anyway, we are going to talk about Amazon and how they touched me in weird places on the doll. So basically, I made this new app. It's called the FreeCoast app. And if you search on Google Play or now on Amazon, it's actually on Amazon. It took a lot of gnashing of teeth to get it on there. But if you search FreeCoast, all one word, it's pretty much the only thing that comes up on both stores is my Android app for the FreeCoast radio show or FreeCoast radio app, which is an alternative to LRN started by Steven Zeller, who's Derek J's boyfriend. And it's a really cool streaming network. If you're sick of LRN, and I am, even though I'm on it, you know, I want an alternative to it. I love it, and it's great, and I help them out as much as I can. But the FreeCoast app is like 10 podcasts that all sound great, all have great personalities. You've never heard any of them, and they all, except the Freedom Fiends, when Derek J's on, because you have to be from the Seacoast region of New Hampshire to be on this network. So I made this app for it, and it's really cool. It's really simple. It's got two buttons. One is play, one is about, and it's got pictures of the porcupine of the sea. Steven Zeller has found, Steven, I don't know how you say his last name, but he's found a new mascot, which is the pufferfish, which is kind of like the, it's the porcupine of the sea, my wife calls it, so... That's the icon. So
nice.
We're gonna go to the free market where you can hear about you'll probably hear an ad for the Freedom Fiends Amazon link, and then we're gonna come back and talk about how horrible Amazon's robots were to me.
Bad touch, Amazon. Bad touch.
Man, that was quite a rant. I just talked for 13 minutes straight.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
The robots are coming.
Robots are coming. Yep. Did we lose our music?
Robots are here.
Completely. Is our music gone?
I think it is.
It's gone.
Got to talk to Mike about that. It went away too quick. It was there, but then it just died. It should fade quietly. That's a teaching hospital moment. So let's read some emails from Amazon's robots to me. So, you want to start there, MK? This is after I submitted the app to Google. It was approved in like 3 hours. It was up and live, and people were downloading it and loving it and reviewing it. So then around the same time I submitted to Amazon, like 12 hours later, I got this email. Go ahead, MK.
Dear Michael, we are contacting you regarding your developer account and the applications you've submitted for sale through the Amazon Mobile App Distribution Program.
I wasn't selling them. They're free, but go on.
You have submitted multiple applications containing content that violates our content guidelines or your app distribution and services agreement with us. Most recently, we found multiple applications infringing content from other major brands.
Michael, we have previously
notified
it.
You. Oh, this is where it gets serious. We have previously notified you that we may terminate your Amazon Mobile App Distribution Program account if there are further violations of our content guidelines.
Okay, let me interject. They may, I don't remember them previously telling me that this was possible, but it was probably in one of those, like, you know, 10,000 word emails of by looking at this, you've agreed to this contract. So then what's the last line there, MK?
We have disabled your Amazon mobile app distribution program account and suppressed or rejected all submitted applications associated with your vendor account. You were not permitted to create a new developer account with the Amazon mobile app distribution program. Best regards. Amazon.
Best regards.
You've been banned. Have a nice day.
Now that's like them being nice at the end is what kind of worried me and made me think that they're going to turn into Skynet, because that's literally acting like the government. They're acting like police and the Marines and the Army in their definition of the word professional. Like, cops will literally murder you, you know, murder your spouse, murder your dog, beat the crap out of you, you know, say you're resisting arrest, drag you off, spray you with pepper spray, and call you sir or ma'am while doing it, and consider themselves quote unquote professional because they called you sir or ma'am. Yeah.
Right. Wow. Right.
Yep.
It's good to have manners, you know.
Nice. Yeah. Nice, gentle suppressing and rejection of all submitted applications associated with your vendor account.
Yeah. And before I have Jeremy read the next part, my reply to them, keep in mind that, like, you know, they don't really have a monopoly on this. Like, literally, you can make an Android app and release it on your website. That's what I do when I'm testing. But nobody except people who are really interested in testing your app for you will download it. Because first of all, to do that, you have to change a setting in your phone that says allow outside apps that, like, you know, from untrusted sources, because the trusted sources are like Amazon and Google and anything else. Yeah. like literally, like, you get all kinds of scary warnings when you install it. And we do that when we're testing them. But most people don't even know how to install, like, you know, I can email you an app and you can click on it and install it, but you're going to get scary warnings. Right. Most people won't do that. Most people will only do it from the Google Play Store, but people that use Amazon are people that have Amazon Android devices, like a Amazon Fire HD, and they can only easily install from the Amazon store. You technically can, but you have to root it, which is like changing settings, which most people won't do. So really, if you're not on the Android store and the Amazon store, you're going to lose like 99% of the people who might install your app. So they don't have legally, they don't have a monopoly. Like, they're not going to get charged with monopolies, but for all intents and purposes, they have a monopoly or a duopoly. And I have a theory that they're the same company behind closed doors somehow, or they're soon going to be, and then Murder Ball will result. So Murder Dog,
Murder Ball.
read my reply, please, to Amazon.
I recently submitted an app called Free Coast Financial Radio. You wrote me back and said, most recently, we found multiple application infringing content from other major brands. You told me that you were terminating the account. There is no basis for this for the allegation. There is also no remedy on my end. I can't submit the licenses for my apps that you demand because I am the sole creator of the app. We'll have to finish the rest of that when we get back.
Yeah. From this trip to the market, one of these is going to have an ad for Amazon. I know it. Because we have an ad for Amazon.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this. Nobody.
Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school.
And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Always our fault.
Freedom Fiends.
Yep.
We're back.
All right, so we're talking about how Amazon, I'm showing you on the dollar, Amazon touched me in bad places because I submitted my Free Coast Radio app, Amazon app, to their app store to give away free. Basically, I was jumping through hoops for one guy. There's this guy who does the Zombies, You, and Government podcast or whatever. He's a Fiend fan. And he doesn't have an Android phone. He has a Fire HD Amazon device. So I go through all of this. Other people download it too, but I go through all this trouble basically for one guy because Google is the 900-pound gorilla. That's where everyone goes is the Google Play Store. And the Amazon App Store, like one out of a tenth as many people use it. So go ahead and finish reading where you were, Jeremy. Is this my letter or Amazon's?
Yeah, robot no. This was your reply. You right. just I just got finished saying that you had finished saying that you're telling them that you were the sole creator of the app because they're looking for licenses. So furthermore, there is no infringing content from other major brands in quote, any of unquote, my apps.
I'm quoting them.
Yes. Sorry. Can you please tell me specifically what quote unquote infringing content from other major brands? You think there is in my apps. The allegations Amazon's bot is making are false. Perhaps I'm being confused with another account somehow. How do I remedy this with the Amazon App Store? So, and then...
Respectfully, Michael Dean, Beast Lick Internet Policy Commission Outreach Team, which is the name of my software company. And if you... the what that stands for, Beast Lick Internet Policy Commission Outreach Team, is BIPCOT. That's where the BIPCOT license gets its name. And BIPCOT, we do have BIPCOT stickers now. Fiend Fan made some. If you go to BIPCOT.org, and click on the right top sidebar, there's a blog post about it. It'll also be in the show notes tonight. They are delightfully beautiful round stickers, 3 inches in diameter, blue and white, BIPCOT logo, and they're $2.50 postpaid in the U.S., and they are awesome. I've got some. So the thing is... Each of these worms. So each of these emails to and from Amazon were like 12 hours apart. Like by the time this got remedied, like people had, you know, there were like 9 reviews on the Google Play Store. Like it was live and being loved. And Amazon was still infringing on my butthole. And, but note that this last email, like the other, we didn't read, this is important, the one we skipped, I'm just going to read this one line in one, because Google sent me, or Amazon sent me like, you know, we didn't read them all, they sent me like, their robots sent me like 3 snippy emails, and what my first reply to them, in it I said, I got to say, Amazon makes it very hard to add apps, Google Play never makes me jump through any hoops, and publication of apps there is instantaneous, near instantaneous. And a lot more people use Google Play. Amazon is going to lose their place in the app game acting like this. It's also harder to even submit an app to Amazon. Amazon, you're doing it wrong. Now that is the one that was replied where they followed up with.
That's where you got banned.
That's where I got banned. Yes. So I wasn't nice to the robots. And then later, this one that Jeremy just read, I was more polite to the robots. And within 10 minutes of probably an hour of me sending that, I got an auto email that said, your app is now live on the Google Play Store. So the moral is, be nice to your robot overlords or else. And that's the name of the episode.
They can detect disobedience.
I know.
They will punish you for it.
I know. They can detect.
And a bad attitude.
I know. Yeah. I know. So,
you will not tolerate that type of insolence, sir.
So they're training us to be nice to robots. That's what Google and Amazon and Google are doing now. So, what do you guys think, y'all?
Well,
yeah, it's just weird that they didn't give any elaboration on why they put it back in or like what went wrong.
Any apology?
That's a trigger or any apology.
They were obviously wrong. I mean, there was no infringing content of major brands, quote unquote. Right. I mean, you know, and it seems like that's a catch-all email that they send to somebody if they're like, you know, I actually Googled phrases in that, and who usually gets that email is people who make, like, you know, the Christine Aguilera fan club app, when it's an unofficial, like, they don't even know, you know, it's just a fan making an app, or, you know, the game that someone makes, the app game that someone makes of, like, you know, punch Donald Trump in the nose or whatever.
That's my favorite.
Yeah. Like, those are major brands, but, you know, I may have, like, grabbed a picture off Google Images of a puffer fish, but it's a totally generic picture that's not really owned by anyone. Actually, I think it was from Wikipedia.
Does the puffer fish own it?
Yeah, he's going to sting
me. Does he have rights over his image?
His sushi is poisonous, I know that.
Identity theft.
Not always.
Yeah, not always, if you prepare it correctly. But, yeah, so what do you guys think of corporations having ostensible monopolies while being legally able to say they don't have monopolies?
Are you thinking there ought to be a law? Is that what you're saying?
No, I think that they can act like this because there are laws, is what I'm saying.
Well, of course, this is the result of antitrust.
Well, let's pretend for a moment that there are no laws and we're in a stateless society, and Amazon is treating you like a redheaded stepchild here. Couldn't they do that to you?
Well, I guess the thing I'm complaining about is too much power being concentrated in one place. And again, I maintain that this is because of monopolistic or because of governments. Like, but I don't know, honestly. I mean, okay, it's like everyone I know hates Facebook, and everyone I know spends all day every day on Facebook because it's where everyone else is. And it's kind of this kind of catch 22. Like, you know, there are thousands of other social networks, and you can even get freeware software to start your own. But I've done that. Like, I've started forums and stuff, and, like, it's hard to get people to spend time on them because they all go to Facebook. So, and a lot of Facebook's market share is probably because they've sued everyone along the way because they can, because governments.
Well, I think you'd see this without governments too. I mean, I don't think there's any reason to believe that a stateless society would be perfect and, you know, free of corporate corruption. I mean, I think you would see larger businesses forming together, you know, partnering together to suppress business and smaller, you know, from smaller competitors. So, I mean, I think that's just naturally what happens when something gets large enough.
It big wants puffer to suppress fish all. Eat smaller fish.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. So, and I mean, the state makes that a lot easier, but I think you'd still have that problem, which is why, like, when I hear some ANCAPs talk about how wonderful it would be if, like, you know, Walmart had a private military or something like that. It's like, I don't know that I would want to live in that version of, you know.
Halliburton has a private military. It's called the U.S. military.
right. Well, yeah. So, I'm definitely not for state or corporate control of people's lives.
Walmart has their security department, and they have officers in every store.
Yeah, but it's only when they call the police that people get shot, generally. Yeah.
I don't think that they carry guns.
No, but they can get a guy with a gun there pretty quick. They call the cops, and the cops show up, and there was one recently I saw where they were, like, you know, tasing a differently abled woman in a wheelchair. It was horrible. There's video of it.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Because, well, like, and she, for shoplifting, which she didn't do, but they insisted she did because she was holding something in her hand in her wheelchair, you know?
How dare she?
It's called an electronic attitude adjustment.
Well, you have to be especially suspicious of those people. I mean, you know, they get away with too much as it is.
Who, the differently abled? I am differently abled now, so.
No,
you know. And I'm 164th black, so I got the whole package here. So I can get indignant at anybody now.
Is it you and Elizabeth Warren, or she? Oh, no, she's dating.
I'm more black than she is, but I have the DNA results to prove it. But MK, I don't know, you may have missed this memo, this show, but I literally have and have earned. I have a disabled parking pass now.
Oh, so
I am technically literally disabled. I I could get disability, but I'm not going to. I probably would if there were a reason to get it. I don't consider that welfare. It's, you know, I've paid into it.
I wouldn't judge you. Yeah, you paid into it.
Yeah, and I literally can't do normal work now.
Yeah.
But I looked into it, and it's actually like I would get so little money, and I can still kind of work. I could still do, you know, computer stuff at home. So I'm not barred from doing work to where I need it. And the thing is too, if you get it, like literally like the government gets all up in your bank account. I found out like, you know, if you deposit a paycheck, you know, for a job you do for $5,000 and you're on disability, the government wants some of it. So I'm not doing that.
Well, yeah. Wow. It requires you to give up a lot of personal information, you know, from what I've heard, but I don't begrudge anyone who, you know, uses that when they need to. I mean, there are a lot worse things you could do to participate in the system. So,
yeah,
you might.
And yeah, a lot of people have paid into it.
You might bring it down faster.
Right.
That's the thing. Well, you know, there's one of the Free Talk Live hosts. Someone pointed out to me today is literally a libertarian welfare whore. It's TJ the Spy. Isn't he on welfare and like bragging about how easy it is in certain states? Did you guys hear that?
No. Uh-huh.
I'm not saying it's...
I don't know. You know. I don't know the whole controversy around it. I just like...
You started the controversy. You created the term libertarian welfare whores.
No, libertarian welfare queens.
Which is not people who are on... Which is not people who are on government welfare, but, you know...
No, no. It's not. So, yeah, to kind of define the term in case people didn't know what it was. So, libertarian welfare queen is typically a libertarian who uses, you know, oftentimes just outrageous arguments to kind of force the libertarian agenda on people, all the while always claiming that they need donations or money for various causes that you can't really seem to prove exist, or, you know, there's like weird money issues going on. Like, but yeah, basically Styles. They beg for money for work that is kind of hard to quantify, and basically live off of the donations of other libertarians while, you know, oftentimes criticizing welfare recipients and, you know, anyone who's not as, you know,
whereas I do a lot of cyber begging, but put most of it back into the fiends. Like, I give away more buttons generally and flags now than I sell. And anything that I do, like raising money for Fiend the Homeless or whatever, there's video of the money being of what we bought being given away. So
yeah, you gotta prove it when you take donations.
And I work too, still. So donate, and it will go back into the fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem without firsthand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Free Coast Financial Radio app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market,
but tell you how they make money in a variety of investment and artistic endeavors.
The Free Coast Financial Radio app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on finance, liberty, and technology from the coastal region of New Hampshire.
Because there's a lot more to New Hampshire than just Keene. Free Coast Financial Radio. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior audio quality.
The Free Coast Financial Radio app is covered by the BIPCOT NoGov license.
Go on the Google Play Store
or on Amazon
and search Free Coast, all one word.
And please rate and review.
Worms.
Wampus Kitty. Wampus Kitty. So this is Freedom Fiends. We're talking about, I guess the question is, what would corporations or giant companies look like in the absence of government regulatory bodies? So, you know, a lot of libertarians talk like, oh, the free market would take care of everything. In fact, this is part of my pitch. If you go to Google Play Store or Amazon now for the Free Coast Financial Radio app, is, are you tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem without firsthand experience of how the market works? I am, basically, because a lot of newly minted ANCAPs who talk about, like, literally a lot of them are blogging and ranting and podcasting from their mother's, you know, rumpus room paneled rumpus room, and have never held a job. And people have yelled at me for saying that, like, those people don't really understand libertarianism or the free market or anarcho-capitalism if they've only lived at home. And it's funny because people will yell at me for that, but those same people will criticize Bernie Sanders supporters for not understanding economics, for also having never had a real job. But I maintain that until you've supported yourself and worried about the rent, you don't really understand the world. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah, I think there's certain experience that comes with that, with going through that. And it definitely broadens your worldview. And yeah, that's always been kind of a thing that's rubbed me the wrong way about some libertarians. I kind of call it libertarian fundamentalism, where you believe the free market is your Lord and Savior, and it'll just come and, like, you know, just nothing bad will ever happen if we just have free markets. And I don't know that that's a fair approach. I think there would be much more competition, and it would be a lot more beneficial for everyone if we had free markets. But I don't know that the evil would be completely eliminated, especially like corporate. If a corporation gets a lot of power absent of a government, I think that creates a hierarchical structure where there could be, you know, punching down or some kind of abuse of power that we kind of see in government now.
I have a saying, it's that you can become a millionaire without being evil, but you cannot become a billionaire without being evil. And I maintain that that's true as a person. And I don't know where the cutoff limit is. I said that first like 25 years ago, and what $1 million will buy is a lot less now. But, you know, I think you can probably have $10 or $20 million that you've earned now without having done anything evil. But I think there's a cutoff point somewhere in the double digits of millions of where you've got to do something evil to make that kind of money.
Of course, we will never know.
Yeah, but well, Jesus is going to take me home, and I'm going to die if we don't get enough contributions to buy me a jumbo jet. So people better get on that. Who am I imitating there? Would you guys remember?
Oh, that's
I was trying to remember.
Which evangelical guy is that?
There's a bunch who've done it since.
Was it Moral Roberts?
Anal Roberts. Remember. Yeah. Yeah. But so
that's a different guy.
So here's the question, like, you know, let's talk for a minute about something more realistic than what corporations would look like gathering power in the absence of a state. Let's first talk about, like, if the state ended tomorrow, what would happen with the corporations that already exist? Because people know, people who've studied economics know that, like, when things drastically change, people use things they're used to. Like, for instance, you know, when government money is no longer backed and it's worthless, like, people still use government money because they're used to using it. Like, yeah, they'll use gold. Yeah, they'll use Bitcoin, but they'd still use dollars if the state collapsed for a while, just because, you know, what is it?
Yeah, maybe. As long as people took them, sure.
Well, their legal corporate status would disappear immediately. They would be the business formerly known as a corporation.
Yeah, so like if the government collapsed tomorrow and there was no longer any trademark enforcement, and I started a social network called Face Beef, which copied the look and feel of Facebook, I think people would still mostly use Facebook instead of using Face Beef because that's where all their friends are. Discuss. Spelling counts.
Yeah, no, I think so. I think there'd be more limitations on what could be done about those types of infringements. And I think Facebook wouldn't have to use some type of government force to try to stop competition.
Facebook wouldn't be the victim.
Would they have an army?
The victim would be your
consumers. But I think they would hire an army if they caught wind of serious competition.
I meant that in a nice way. I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah. Well, that's a common criticism of, like, libertarianism. If the government were out of the way, it would just be whoever has the money to hire the most private guns would control and be the government. Why wouldn't that be true?
Let's talk about it.
We're going to the market. We'll talk about an hour or two, but yes. Worms.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you.
We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Clock's really off here. I'm going to clean your clock. You need to clean your C clock.
Whoa. Wow.
That cat. I love that cat. Who's doing the intro? Who's got the intro?
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's low-orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no-government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Nice. Words. It's true. It's all true. I'm Michael Dean. That was Murder Dog, Jeremy Hangnail. Jeremy Hangnail. And we got MK Lords. Hi, MK.
Hi.
From San Diego or thereabouts, Mexico. Aren't you in Mexico?
Imperial Beach. Yes, it's very close to Mexico.
Your neighborhood is so far south, the police don't go there. Didn't you say that?
Yes.
Yeah. And we got Randy England, Professor Randy England.
Hello.
Esquire at Law. So, this is interesting. The other day we posted a picture, MK posted a picture of her punk rock sound conditioning that she used to make herself sound better. And it was a picture of like an air mattress leaned up against the wall. And she posted it on Twitter. And anybody who went to click on it, like you couldn't see it and you had to click. Like basically it gave you a porn warning. Like, this might be an adult picture. What did it say?
This may contain sensitive material. Are you sure you want to click?
I think what it is I think that the algorithms, the bots. Yeah, I think the bots at Twitter are triggered and think that an inexpensive mattress equals porn. That's what I think.
Or they thought you were mocking Mattress Girl.
Yeah. Yep. She's probably sued them. So I don't know. I don't know that Twitter.
Weird.
I don't think Twitter's going to have a private army somehow. They're friendlier to me than Google or Amazon or Facebeef.
The whole idea of these corporations getting private armies. I mean, is it possible? Sure, but
they've already got them.
It's definite now.
I mean, Halliburton literally. It's hard to say if Halliburton is an arm of the U.S. Department of the Department of War or if the Department of War, you know, like. Like, literally...
The Department of Offense, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, literally, like, wasn't the Iraq War, you know, part of an expansion by Halliburton? Wasn't that the purpose?
I think so.
Yeah.
But it seems like, at least.
I mean, that's what it seems like. Allegedly, yeah. I gotta be careful, man, because, like...
Allegedly.
Like, there are two Halliburton trucks parked on my block right now. Like, they run Wyoming. Like, every 10th person here works for them or something. And Dick Cheney will send his, you know... He'll send a platoon of Marines over, whatever they are. So I'm going to be careful. But because I'm in Wyoming. Why do we call you
the Navy SEALs are moving out here, actually.
Oh, yeah. San Diego is such a jarhead town, man. It's Marines and SEALs and Navies and Armies. And so, Murder Dog, why do we call you Murder Dog?
Yes. Well, I have a murder dog. I also take care of a lot of murder dogs.
What's a murder dog?
Murder dogs are pit bulls. We say it with love because
why
somebody,
do we call them that?
Well, people have explain a lot of misconceptions about pit bulls.
Explain the meme though.
What?
There's a meme
there's a hugging
a pit bull like their best friend.
Well, like
friends.
Laying on top of its head, basically.
Literally.
And hugging it. And
pit bull looks like it's smiling, and they're out in the sun in the grass.
So
and,
cute.
And it says, I love you, murder dog. And then the raccoon's caption is, I love you too. No, the raccoon is saying, I love you, murder dog. And the pit bull is saying, I love you too, trash panda.
Yeah, It's adorable.
It is. That's actually.
So yeah, it's kind of mocking the idea that pit bulls are a more dangerous breed than other dogs, and they somehow need to have laws pointed at them so that they can't, you know, rent certain places and things like that. So there's some legislation on.
Jeremy, you have a murder dog and you pet sit for other murder dogs. You often have. You are often lying under a pile of murder dogs. Tell me, are they more dangerous than other dogs?
No, they're actually every one I've ever taken care of has been the biggest baby, and they're actually they're usually not even in the top five of dog breed bites per year. Cocker spaniels and labs are usually the top two.
But people train them to be violent, right? And they can
easier. Can because their body they're like aerodynamically built. And very solid and low to the ground, and they do have a strong jaw, as do a lot of the working type breeds their size, and their weight, and they're not they're easily trainable because they actually if you don't train them to be killers, they're almost always ridiculous with kids. They're just
ridiculously
giant
what with kids
sweet. And they're great with kids, and they're great with kids, and they're just giant mushes. So they have it has to be kind of like actually with the military, it kind of has to be beaten into them to be killers.
Have you heard Bill Burr's rant about his pit bull?
I don't think
so.
Yes, it's really funny. I like him. He's one of my favorite comedians, and he's nuts. He's like most comedians. Are liberals, and he's more like the new world order is coming and you better buy a gun, but he's kind of a liberal, but he's not like us, but he's also not like the ones that say we should kill people who own guns, which is most comedians. But he talks about how he had to go to his pit bull was just out of control, and he went to a trainer, and the trainer's like, so what do you do? And he's like, well, I go out and I, take him for a walk, and then I come home and I run up the stairs, and he runs up the stairs with me, and then we wrestle. And he's like, what? You're basically training him to challenge you for your apartment, to fight you for the apartment every time you return to the house.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's funny.
Jeremy's cutting it out. It happens. So
it's a half a droning.
So does anyone else who's not cutting it out have any closing comments on corporations and whether they would enslave us in the absence of governments?
I think it's possible.
Really?
I think it's possible. I don't think it's worth worrying about. I'm just wary of any group of people who get a large amount of power over.
Yeah, and I'm sure that most libertarians that live in their mother's basements would correct us at this point and say, without the government, there couldn't be corporations. But let me rephrase that. Walmart and Amazon and Google size companies. In the absence of governments, would their private armies enslave us? I think one reason they wouldn't is because of the utilitarian thing of basically they stand to make more money off us by not enslaving us.
We can look to other unregulated or less regulated markets to see what would happen. There would still be scammers. Bitcoin, the Bitcoin space is still pretty ripe with fraud and companies running away with people's money. And there's no kind of enforcement there. No one's forcing them to do bad things and rip people off. And no one's forcing competition out of the space. Except in New York, there's a lot of, there are some legal issues there. But as far as other things, it's a pretty unregulated space. And yet you still see a lot of corruption and just straight up fraud.
Yeah.
So, it comes from principles and, building a community where, people maybe aren't going to be inclined to rip people off. Maybe there's fewer incentives to rip people off. But there's always going to be liars and thieves and people who are out to, band together with other jerks and, take people's stuff.
Yeah. I think there'll always be people that want to rip people off. I think we'll have. I don't think. Yeah. I think it'll be harder to have super large corporations when you get companies. Rid of. Yeah, companies. And by that, you know, when people talk about corporations after in a stateless society, I think what they're talking about is limited liability companies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, and, I mean,
shareholders I think you're right too, liable.
I think it would be harder for companies to become that huge. I mean, a good example is tobacco companies, and we can talk about this later about how like all these regulations are coming down the pipe for e-cigarettes, and basically they're being pushed by the giant tobacco companies because they're the only ones that it can afford to comply with them, and they're probably writing these laws basically to eliminate the great underground, not underground, but like distributed market that has sprung up and all the innovation that has sprung up. They don't want the competition of the long tail of the thousands of companies.
And the government's driving that. A protective tariffs keeps smaller companies from coming in and competing with
that wouldn't happen in the absence
American
of government.
Companies. Yeah, yeah, right.
They've been doing it.
And you couldn't tobacco too big companies, to fail.
Tobacco, you know. Yeah, yeah, they would companies would just fail. And tobacco companies, this is interesting, like less people than ever are smoking, and tobacco companies are making more money than ever. That's a fact. That wouldn't work in the private in the absence of governments.
You guys heard what just happened in California where they raised the smoking age to
21.
Yes.
Now what's going on with that?
Kids to black markets faster.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's going to backfire.
I mean, when I first heard about this, all this regulation coming down the pike for e-cigs, I was like, I think it's a good thing because it's going to teach more people that the government is wrong. But, you know, I don't think that's working with, like, pot. I mean, pot's been illegal forever. Everyone's in prison for it. And most people who smoke pot are not saying, you know, let's just get the government out of this. The government is horrible. They're saying, please, government, tax us and regulate us.
Well, yeah,
dude, people were stoked about it in California.
Yeah, I'll
like,
bet.
They were like, this is going to save lives. It's like, no, not really. Not. I mean, smoking is bad. Like, you know, it's not good for you doing it long term, obviously. But, yeah, raising the age to 21 isn't really going to stop kids from smoking cigarettes. It's going to make them even more appealing. Because then now it's more like alcohol. It's like, oh, it's a same thing that I can't
forbidden
have
until
I'm this magical age.
How many times does prohibition have to fail before they
before
more people go, wait a minute, we've seen this before.
Yeah, and how come Bernie Sanders supporters don't notice the disconnect of the fact that while Bernie Sanders does talk about ending the drug war, he's also talking about outlawing cigarettes. Like he's literally saying the drug war doesn't work, we need to end it. And let's have a conversation about outlawing tobacco because it's so harmful. Tobacco. You know what? I would love to be the poster boy for, like, tobacco will kill you. It nearly killed me. I'm on oxygen because of it, and I think it should be legally available in vending machines like it was when I was a kid.
Yeah, the smoking rates are going down. I think they'll continue to.
Wirearms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolfe. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Freedom Fiends. We are back.
So, Ronald Reagan said that government is like the alimentary canal of a child. Insatiable appetite at one end and no control at the other. He said things that sounded like straight up anarchist. And I think the thing is, Carl Hess was writing them for him. Yes. And literally, like that's the basis of why the Republicans sound like anarchists, but they're really not. But it's because Carl Hess, an actual anarchist, a not left, not right, anarchist without hyphens, anarchist was a speechwriter for Reagan. Or was it, no, Goldwater or Reagan?
He was for Goldwater.
Goldwater.
Yeah.
But he wrote for a lot of people.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, he did write for a lot of people.
But Reagan was a Hollywood liberal when he was an actor. He was a Democrat who basically was tapped by his friend John Wayne to play Reagan's greatest role ever, which was as acting as president of the United States in that film. And to do so, the template they used was Barry Goldwater, because Goldwater, you know, stirred up, angered up, happied up the base more than any candidate had since Kennedy, and, you know, since any Republican had probably since Lincoln. And so they basically just copied. I mean, there is a joke, and it's that Goldwater won. It just took him 16 years, which is that, you know, Reagan won by sounding like Goldwater. And they copied Goldwater because Goldwater almost won. So that's why Reagan sounded like an anarchist. But he was not. But Randy, you have something to say about alimentary canals. So we watched this video of these black bloc anarchists, which are left-wing communist anarchists, black blockers. They're all over Europe. They were the common form of anarchist before anarcho-capitalists came around, which is me and anybody else on the Fiends who wants to claim that. Anarcho-communists don't believe in property, which is silly, because the basis of all economics is property rights.
Property is like theft, man.
Yeah, they say property is theft, man. And, dude, you know, they hate capitalism, but they confuse capitalism with corporatism, which is most of, like, what we were talking about the last hour was corporatism. We were talking about, you know, fascism. Corporatism is fascism. Yeah, it's capitalism with government involvement, heavy government involvement. You know, it's not quite communism, which is government owns the means of production. Fascism, there's private ownership, but it's so in bed with the government that it's part of the government. It's hard to even tell where the head begins and the alimentary canal ends. So, Randy, we looked at this video of these black blockers fighting it out with riot police in Europe. Describe the alimentary scene that we saw, Randy.
Well, it seems that the black blockers wanted the Muslim refugees from the Middle East to be allowed into Austria. And this whole fight's going on at the border through a pass between Italy and Austria. And Italy, of course, is trying to just serve as, you know, the alimentary canal for the refugees so that they come in the south and get, you know,
pooped out.
Excreted out into this pass into Austria in the north, so that in between that, you know, they're not getting overrun with refugees. And Austria apparently is tiring of it. Imagine, you know,
how them. Rude.
And the black blockers, I think, if I read it right, and they're upset because they want.
They hate borders. They want
the sphincter to stay in. Wide open,
right,
there.
At right,
the
pass. And just go 24/7. Yeah. And we're pretty much an open borders store show on this store, on the Freedom Fiend store. But I would. Here's my take on it. Let me know if you guys agree with this. Like, I think that open borders are the ethical thing to do. I would prefer if they didn't happen until government incentives and punishments, you know, were out of the way. Like, I don't want to have to pay for more welfare for people coming in out of the country in addition to ones that are already here. But the only ethical thing you can say is open the borders and don't wait for that. Do you guys agree with all that?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, you know, sometimes I don't know that I do. You say the border should be completely open. Do you analogize that to your front door, that the front door should be open for a serial killer? Okay,
no, that's
an extreme answer. But in LibPair, it would all be private property.
Right.
So what would happen? I don't know.
Well, there'd be roads built by Walmart, but you're not an ANCAP, did you say, MK?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely here's my more question. Like a Hess, like anarchist without hyphens.
Without. Let me ask you this, too. Let me play devil's advocate for a minute here. And, you know, I'm not a Muslim hater. I have a couple friends that are Muslims. I think all the Fiends have the same two Muslim friends.
We do.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
So I did a radio no-no, although it was pretty funny, because now I'm going to be really, like, I've practiced what I was going to say. So I had my feed down, the commercial feed, so we went to a commercial, and I kept ranting for 2.5 minutes until I said, what do you guys think? And MK said, you know we're not on the air anymore, right? And we haven't been for, like, 2.5 minutes. So when we left,
I'm glad you did that. It usually happens to someone else, not you.
I know. I get to make mistakes too. It's a teaching hospital. So let's see. The Elementary Canal of Europe was pooping Muslim immigrants into other countries, and anarchists were throwing rocks at police for being fascists and not allowing Europe to throw open its britches and pollute it with immigrants. Boy, that just sounds horrible.
That's terrible. Sounds
like Rush Limbaugh. Okay, so we're not anti-open borders here, but with some asterisks, I guess, of like in a libertarian paradise, are all property be private?
Well, it's exactly so. It's not open borders; it's private borders. There's a difference.
Well, let me ask you this: in the that's talking libpara theory there, in the world that exists right now, do you want open borders allowing a bunch of immigrants to come in who are going to get on welfare? And you're gonna have to pay for it.
I think that if I was living in a country that had destroyed their countries, that there would be some type of
justice.
Not justice.
It's Hillary Clinton's fault that all these Muslim
but there's been a lot of destruction in certain parts of the world, and if those people wanted to come to a country where they're going to have access to new ideas and new markets and, you know, new, better ways of lives for themselves and their families, then I don't really have a problem with it. I mean, I'm not saying anyone owes anyone anything, but if, you know, the U.S. destroys your country and those people want, you know, a house, I mean, I kind of feel like you owe them a house. But
I don't
that's
know
not in a more kind of direct way.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to say, I totally opposed anyone destroying their house. I think it's horrifyingly bad.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, what my feeling about the borders is that I don't get to. We're not in libpara. The government's controlling who comes in and who doesn't. And I guess if the government is going to do something like figure out where a road should go or who should be in the country, I guess what I want them to do is what I would do if it was up to me and it was my yard. And I don't know what that is necessary. Well, I don't know. I don't mind immigrants at all. I think most people are just here to work and be peaceful. But if I had somebody who wanted to kill me, of course, I know the reason they want to kill me is because of my government. But if somebody wanted to kill me, I would not want them here.
Well, sure.
But where do you go with that?
But how
do you have a test at the border? Do you say, do you want to kill Americans? And they say, no, you let them.
No, there's no good answer to that. The only answer is to stop making these people enemies. And we're not going to go there.
Yeah, I mean,
we.
Oh, go ahead, Drew.
You got a mouse in your pocket, Randy?
For that rant, I did.
I was just going to say, in the current paradigm, it is a matter of having the open borders of a nation state and a welfare state simultaneously.
It's a bad plan.
Is it? Well, that's something that could theoretically speed up the collapse, but it is also, I understand what MK was saying about, you know, the people that have been severely wronged, but, you know, as you said, you didn't do it. Randy said, you know, you didn't do it. I didn't either. I didn't want anything to do with that either. So unfortunately, to say that they have to be compensated, yeah, they restitution would be nice of some sort, but if it comes from people who had nothing to do with it, is that, you know, does that make it any better? No, not really.
Do you know how much a Hellfire missile costs?
Is that $80 million?
No, it's like $80,000. But it's like, think about that. It's basically a big bullet. It's like one bullet that costs $80,000. Like, you know, think how far. you know, a family that's used to being goat farmers could live on $80,000 if you just gave it to them instead of killing them.
Well, yeah, yeah.
You know,
but and when you kill them,
you make enemies that want to kill your country people, you know.
But to make the person pay for it, the guy that you robbed to buy that missile, he's a victim too.
Yeah, we're victims. Yeah,
there's victims all around.
Yeah, and you know who's really the victims is like anybody listening who strongly supports the military or the police or the flag. And I know that saying that's going to get us kicked off of stations, but it's like your enslavement begins and ends at saying like America right or wrong, you know, whatever your country is. I mean, that was the Nazis. That was Nazi, you know, and you're going to say, don't compare me to Nazis. But it's like, that was what held Germany together during, you know, Hitler's years was like people saying, you know, the fatherland, the country, the homeland security, see something, say something, you know, follow the law no matter what. Be patriotic. There's a ton of
propaganda that is pitting both sides against each other. People who are in this country having money stolen from them in the form of taxes to kill people in other countries. And, you know, you have to be afraid of the people in other countries because of the actions of your government or because they're crazy people or whatever kind of narrative. And you're also kind of powerless to do anything about it. So, but there's a lot of propaganda, like painting these people, these refugees who are coming from very desperate situations as people who just want to come in and like invade us or something, or have, you know, all these ulterior motives besides just having a place that they can live in and not be homeless. Or like,
it's all Hillary Clinton's fault.
I just don't see like the whole like conspiratorial, like what they're going to like, you know, all organize after having their lives and livelihoods completely destroyed and having to start over in a new place. I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying that, you know, they're bringing good cultural things over. Like, I don't agree with a lot of stances of, you know, anti-woman and, you know, anti-homosexual stances that some of these people may have. But I'm not really afraid of them either. I'm not really, I don't think they're going to threaten our way of life. I think, if anything, our culture could influence them and make them think, hey, this, you know, there are better ways to live and there are, you know, more interesting philosophies out there. And this is just a better standard of life for where I want to raise my kids.
Jeremy, you had a comment?
I think part of the confusion is that, you know, the people on the right who are very rabid about this, they assume everybody's going to be these horrible terrorists. And I mean, I think MK is right that there's most of them probably aren't. Are there going to be ones that are? Sure. But that's where the problem is. People just like they're trained to do, everything's, you know, a one-size-fits-all solution. So you got to keep everybody out. And that stems from, you know, like you said before, Michael, about the, you know, they don't want to be called Nazis, but unfortunately, nationalism is nationalism. It's just a matter of degree. It's the only difference.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what they don't see. And they freak out because they blame the people on the left who just want to let everybody in, of not recognizing that. And I don't know too many people on the left who don't recognize that there's going to be some bad people in there. So even they recognize that, but it's just the propaganda on both sides tells each side that they don't recognize that. So the beat goes on.
And the far right, I think, is gaining more prominence too, without some people realizing. I mean, the far left is, they're both, you know, they're both problematic, for lack of a better word.
The far left and the far right are both responsible too for the need for immigrants to be influxing out of Syria and all over the world. You know, George Bush brought in a fake war to the Middle East, basically for Halliburton, under a bunch of lies. Yep. It had nothing to do with the bombing of the World Trade Center. You know, that was mostly Saudi nationals and people that weren't even in Iraq. And that war has continued, and basically the U.S. and Vice President Cheney, and under Cheney, and then now under Obama and under Hillary, have just continued to bomb the crap out of wedding parties to kill people under really flimsy excuses You know, they think there's one bad guy at his wedding party, and they kill 30 people, including, I might add, a lot of pregnant women are always at any wedding anywhere in the world. So these Americans who are adamantly anti-abortion, who go like, yeah, man, bomb them all back to the Stone Age. You are aborting children. You are killing unborn children with your supporting of bombing wedding parties over there. So, but it's the left and the right rubbing each other's hands going, ooh, yes, there's really no difference. And you're buying a big lie if you think there's much difference, because there really isn't. So there. So we weren't even talking. That was kind of a side issue. We're talking about the black blockers. So black bloc is kind of a strategy of anarchists in Europe, of leftist anarchists in Europe, of dressing all in black. And they have a lot of, Jeremy, what did you say? You sent this email that made it sound like they were giving us a bad name. What did you say?
No, I should have. I don't remember exactly what I said in that email, but I did say that they give anarchists in general
the American ones.
But I should clarify that, and what I say is, because they are the ones who are, when anarchists get talked about in the media, it is the black bloc types that are always displayed, no matter what they're doing.
And you can go to blackblock.com, blackblock.com, and buy Freedom Fiends merchandise and Bipcot merchandise that goes along with these shows.
Well, see, that's fine, because the tactic of Black Bloc is spelled BLOC. So that company is
that's
fine.
How this is spelled. I spelled it wrong. It's spelled correctly on the site. It's
oh, darn
it's, it. It's Black, BLACKBLOK. Oh, you're saying it's BLOC? Is that how it's spelled?
Black Bloc, yes. That's how it's spelled.
Oh, I think it can be spelled both ways. And
that's
BlackBlock with a C.com is a placeholder site. It's for sale.
Okay. Well, there you go. But, I don't know.
It's black clothes and masks, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But because that would make Nick Gillespie one if he doesn't wear a mask.
It would make me half the days of the week.
Yeah. So, but this video was like, it was hard for me to tell who were the bad guys, yeah. But I always vote with the cops being the bad guys.
Well, hold on. I was trying to finish clarifying what I said. My issue is just that they're the ones who are always betrayed. So no matter right or wrong, and like in this instance, just like you said, it's hard to tell, but they have no problem using violence, whether they're the initiators or not.
Right.
And that runs counter to...
But they also have more skin in the game. They've had more skin in the game than most American anarchists, too, because they're willing to get beaten up and maced and thrown in prison and killed and arrested. And most American anarchists are just keyboard warriors, like me, for the most part.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Thank you.
That wasn't true.
Lies.
Now we're back.
So,
I was going to stop talking, you know.
What does the worm say?
Meow.
Worms.
I think they make a slimy noise.
We say worms a lot here. On the Freedom Fiends, we say worms.
I know that
worms and mouth noises.
We don't explain this often enough. So I used to play in this band called Slish, which is another mouth noise. Slish. It's actually the sound of...
Oh, I knew exactly what that would sound like.
Intercourse.
From the word.
Yeah. You know what it would be from the word? Yeah. So, so I played this band called Slish with this guy, David Immergluck, who is now in... the band Counting Crows, or as I call them, Counting Sheep. But he was in my really cool and much better and much less popular band, Slish. And he was a really cool, funny guy. And he used to say, worms. Like, instead of word, which was already dated hip hop slang in the 90s when he was saying this to me in 95, 96. And as far as I know, he invented saying worms as a joke, you know, for like, yes, I agree with you. I concur, sir. You are correct, which is what word means. And I just thought it was really funny. And when I started doing this show with Nima Vedotti in 2011, you know, and he's a rapper and he's a lot more street than I am. And I would say worms to him and he would say it back to me. And it started becoming like aloha on the Fiends. We'd say it for hello, goodbye, and I agree with you, and peace, brother, and peace be with you, and all sorts of things. So
it's kind of good that it didn't catch on in 96.
Yeah.
Have been dated by now.
It would be. And it caught on with the Fiends. And like, there are thousands of people out there saying worms every day because it's of true. The Freedom Fiends. It is true. Worms. You speak the truth, worms. My sister.
Yeah, I got like worms. Two or three people saying it regularly.
Yeah.
Just from me saying it.
Yeah. I got like two or three different people every hour saying it to me on the social networks. And so it's become a thing. So we're going to talk about worms for a minute here, about how they are simultaneous hermaphrodites. Now, if you really want to like need some eye bleach, go on search on Wikipedia for the hermaphrodite article and look at the picture of snails mating. It's really bizarre. It looks like, I don't know, Amazon robots, like drones refueling mid-flight or something to me. And then scroll down and look at the earthworms mating. It's they're both male and female at the same time. So there's like two earthworms impregnating each other. I don't even know if you can say that on radio, but I don't know what bathroom these worms use. I don't know if it matters what their parts are, because I think it matters how they identify. What do you guys think?
How they identify?
I don't think that much about where they go to the bathroom.
Well, they all use the same bathroom. It's called the dirt. It's called the ground.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. I also don't think about a lot about where other people use the bathroom.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, like, anybody who's worried about it, like, I'm
like, they're the weirdos, right? Like, they're the ones, like, making a thing out of it. Like, thinking way too much about where other people are using the bathroom.
The thing is,
like, fixation.
Transgender people have been using your bathroom, whether you're male or female. People of the other sex, born of the other sex than you are, have been using the same bathrooms as you your whole life, and you just didn't know. And here's the thing, like mm-hmm. I think that the trans people kind of blew it by demanding in writing being able to do it. It's not helping them. I think it's making it worse.
Certain businesses are voluntarily doing it, and I think that's a good thing. You know, they're showing that they you know, support those policies as you know, on their own private property.
I think it's hilarious when people get all upset about what businesses do. And the thing of like Target, like, is Target pro or against? I guess they're pro anybody using any bathroom there, and all of the right wingers are upset about it. And here's the thing, like, I go into Walmart all the time. Like, I use the bathroom in Walmart like once a year. Like, how often do you really use the bathroom in the big box store? Not very often, I think.
No.
Probably.
And like, I'm just trying my best to not even be noticed at all, like, and not even like make eye contact with other people. Like, I
don't...
You mean in the bathroom, right? The
bathrooms in big box stores basically exist for people to shoplift, as far as I can tell. I don't think it's about genders. Yeah. If you are a person who's concerned about what's in someone's pants, I think you've got the problem. I think you're the pervert. There you go.
Yep.
Worms.
Yeah, I just go at home anyway most of the time. I don't want to go in public bathrooms. Then you gotta like deal with other people's sights, sounds, and smells.
And the genital police sometimes.
Yeah, Barack Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. Bernie Sanders is a liar, a socialist, and he smells like tinkle and mothballs. And I don't even know what Trump smells like, but it ain't good. I think his hair smells like fried bacon. Burnt bacon. There you go.
And rolled on steak.
Worms.